Welcome to
our virtual service. I hope you'll enjoy the service and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Woodlands Church. This is the 11 o'clock service, and my name's Claire Thompson. I'm part of the Woodies team here, and you are all really welcome, whoever you are, if you're part of our regular crowd that worships with us, or also if you're a newcomer today and this is your first time with us, we're really glad you're here, and we hope you enjoy the service. And do connect with us via our newcomers link that comes up on the screen every now and again so that we can write to you and let you know more about the church. We're slightly in holiday mode at the moment. It's August, and so the service will be a little bit shorter, but we're going to be led in just a moment by Joe Russell, one of our worship leaders, in some worship, and then some prayer with Mandy Addison, who's a member of one of our congregations, and also Nigel, who's going to preach in a little while on our new sermon series, which is called Recreate. More on that later. But I'm just going to start the service with a prayer, so do join with me in prayer. Dear God, we thank you that today is a new day and that your mercy and love and peace is available to each one of us today, as it is every day. And we pray now that as we seek to reconnect with you and to hear your voice and to get a fresh understanding of what you're saying to us now, I pray that you would send the Holy Spirit to help us. Come, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, today. Thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go over to Joe.
Let's sing together, let our praise be your welcome. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. Oh, we are here for you. From heaven.
Bible teaches us that there is someone who is the rightful king, who is King Jesus, and he is the one to whom our lives need to be aligned and ordered around. And when we come into surrender with him, when we come to him and just lay everything down, then the healing and the freedom and the new life, the recreation that happens, is worth surrendering things for. So I just pray for us today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you teach us what it means to give up control and surrender our lives to you, the rightful King. We recognize you, King Jesus, as the one on the throne in the middle of all this chaos and disorder in the world. We seek the order and the goodness and the kindness of the kingdom of heaven, which is centered on you, King Jesus. Help us to see you again with fresh eyes and understand your ways again today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Joe and the band, for leading us like that. And if you enjoyed the worship, then you would, I'm sure, enjoy tuning into our 7 p.m. service this evening, which will be live streamed from here with worship and preaching and other things. So do make sure you tune in for that at 7 p.m. this evening. And in just a moment, we're going to hear from Mandy Addison, who is one of our trustees and also has been here for a very long time. And she's going to lead us in prayer today. And then straight after that, a few words from Dave Mitchell, our senior pastor here at Woodlands Church.
Good morning, Woodies. My name's Mandy, and I've been part of the congregation here since it started. I'm also one of the trustees of the church. And I want to lead us in prayer this morning for our world, reeling as it is from the ravages of coronavirus, with millions of people today who are racked with grief, horrified by the fear of what the future may bring, and the future remains very unclear. So into that context, I want us to pray. Father, we come to you remembering your promise that if we, your children, should humble ourselves and pray, you will hear from heaven and you will bring healing to the land. This morning we come as helpless children, aware of our own inadequacies against this foe. Forgive our arrogance in believing we could control our destinies through our own ability. We've lived for our own selfish ends, oblivious of the impact of those on your world, depleting its resources, destroying its climate, oppressing the poor, marginalising minorities, trading in justice. Have mercy on us, Lord, and transform our hearts and change us. Lord, we pray as you taught us, your kingdom come. May your kingdom come in our hearts and in our minds, that we would be conformed to your kingdom and conformed and committed to see it established in this world. We lift to you our own church and pray that there you would be with those who mourn and grieve in our congregation. Be close to the brokenhearted. May they know your comfort. We pray for our leaders too, that you would raise up men and women of God who are anointed with clarity, understanding of the times, vision and purpose as they lead us into new expressions of church. We pray, Father, for those with key roles in the city who you've placed there for times like this, whether they be in politics, in commerce or service. And especially, Lord, we pray for those who feel a vocation to serve through the sphere of work. Give them favour and may their voice be heard. We pray for the government of this country, for its advisers, for the opposition. Lord, may they be endowed with a spirit of humility and wisdom and a desire to seek the common good above all else. and we pray for the leader of our wider world. Again, Lord, that you would sow a spirit of unity in the face of a fight against a common foe that might start to erode the strongholds of hostility and greed and self-interest. May men of peace sow a harvest of peace. And Lord, as we look to the future, we long to see the seeds of a recovery from this that will bring healing out of hurt, life out of death, joy out of suffering. Lord, we pray with all our hearts, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you.
Well, last Sunday we joined with New Wine for a wonderful service of celebration, joined with churches up and down the country. And one of the great things about that was it gave Nico, who's our hard-working communications lead, a bit of a holiday, a chance to take a Sunday without having to put together this service, which actually takes a lot of time. But this Sunday, we are going to be starting a new series that reflects the holiday season that we're in. It's called Recreate. And recreation is part of God's good gift. But something about recreation implies with it a recreation, a being made whole. And that is not just in physical terms, in terms of our bodies, but very much in terms of our souls and our spirits. And as we go into this series and think about creativity and recreation, about theology of work, theology of holiday, what it means to be new creations, I hope that whatever season you find yourself in, but particularly if you're on holiday, this is helpful and relevant to you. And the good news is that wherever you are in the world these days, you can join Woodies online like everybody else. So happy holidays and happy churching. Today, it's the second Sunday of August, and at Woodlands Church, on second Sundays, we take a special focus to think about giving financially to the work of God's kingdom. Now, as disciples of Jesus, actually our money is quite important part of our discipleship, and most of the time at Woodies, we're fairly low-key about offerings and finances because we take it for granted in a way that people who are serious about following Jesus are also serious about stewarding their money and giving to the cause of Christ in the world. But once a month, we'd love to go public on that, and particularly to be giving our offerings to people involved in mission, both at home and abroad. And it's wonderful to have a team of men and women who have left Bristol or have formed connections and friendships with us who are all over the world. And every second Sunday, when we give our offerings, we love to remember our global partners. It's been particularly wonderful to have so many of you global partners joining us in our online services. And today, as we think about you, we want to give as well, to bless the work of God that you're engaged with and to help in your support. A link below should direct you to the page on our website where you can give, and you can give as a one-off payment, you can make standing order payments, but there's so much information on our giving page about Woodlands Church's finances and how you can get involved with supporting the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ through his church at home and abroad.
Thanks, Dave. If you would like to give to the work of the global partners, then the link for that will come up during this next worship song. So do follow that link to our giving page. And Joe's going to sing now, My Jesus, My Saviour. Let's go back into worship before we hear from Nigel.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Joy at
Good morning, everyone. Hi, welcome. My name's Nigel. I'm part of the team here at Woodies, and thanks so much for joining me this morning as we're starting a new series where we're looking over August around the creativity of God and how God's creativity works in all sorts of different ways. And this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you and preaching around, well, actually, the theology of holiday. I didn't even know there was a theology of holiday, I don't know what the technical word is for it, but I was told there is one by Dave, our senior pastor. So I've been finding out about holiday and what the Bible has to say about that. So we're fully in holiday mode at the moment here at Woodies. Maybe you've been on holiday, maybe you're on holiday right now as you're watching this, or maybe you're still looking forward to going on holiday. We haven't gone on holiday yet. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be happening really soon and I can't wait. And this has been really helpful just to reflect and think, okay, what do holidays do? What's the point of them? And actually, what's God's heart around holiday? So we're going to be having a look at a number of things. Now, I just need to say about the hair. I'm still on lockdown hair. So it's okay. It's all still in control, just about. But yeah, if you think mine's bad, you should look at Stuart Cleek's. Anyway, so what we're going to do? Holiday. Here we go. When we think about holidays, we often go because we're tired and we need a break. And we need to get away, and we need to relax, and we need to just have some renewing downtime. And that's normal. That's normal for everyone, whether you would say you're a follower of Jesus, a Christian or not. Actually, we all look forward to holidays and finding rest. And one of the reasons that actually we all need a break, we all need rest, we all need holidays, is because I think it's a universal thing. It's a universal reality that we get tired and we need rest. And so one of the key passages that comes through right at the beginning of the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2. This is the story of how God made, how he created the world. And it's described over 7 days. And on the seventh day, this is what happens. The heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. But the seventh day, God had finished the work and he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So rest is vital to us. I think we're designed, we're wired to need rest. Jesus himself was really busy, and many times in the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke and John, describing the life of Jesus, you see that there was hundreds or thousands of people wanting to be around Jesus all the time. And many times he had to withdraw and go to a quiet place to find rest, to take his disciples, his close followers, to be with him as well. Sometimes he was so busy he didn't even have time to eat, and Jesus needed to find rest. And the Bible speaks really clearly about this idea that actually we work and we have activity, we get tired. Getting tired is normal and natural, that happens. But we need to find rest, a way of being renewed, recharged, refreshed. Now, this rest that God did on the seventh day is really special, because God blesses the time. He blesses a day, a period of time, to make it holy. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the people of God would observe something called Sabbath. And this was this day that was set apart to rest. Whereas the six other days they could work and do everything they needed to do. But on the seventh day they had to rest. And this was very significant. In fact, God was very strict about it. They had to rest. It was part of observing a law that was very important, to rest on the Sabbath day. And they needed to rest and be renewed by God. Not just resting from the work and the activity of doing stuff and having a day off, but resting from that in order to be renewed and to be reconnected with one another and with God, in order to be refocused, to be reordered, to be recentered, actually to be recreated, and allow God to remind them of who they are and allow God to work on them and be connected to him in a way that probably we can't do when we're being super busy doing everything else. So not just resting from things, but in order to rest, to find God and experience God's renewing. So I'm going to look at the theology of holiday. And although rest is shot through the Bible, we see it in the Psalms. Come to me, all you who are weary, and find rest. We see Jesus inviting anyone who's weary and tired to come to him and find rest. We're going to look at someone in the Bible who was in real need of a holiday. And we're going to just draw some things out from his story. And this happens in 1 Kings 19. This is in the Old Testament. And it's someone who's a prophet, someone whose job is hearing from God and sharing God's word, his heart, to people. And he's called Elijah. So we're going to read this passage in 1 Kings 19 all around Elijah. And this was someone who really needed a holiday. So just to set it up, just beforehand, Elijah has been confronting the prophets of Baal in Israel. And these were prophets that actually were false prophets. And there's a big battle, and essentially Elijah wins by being faithful to God. Fire comes down and Elijah is successful. But it doesn't stop there. Now, Ahab told Jezebel, she's the evil queen, everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets of Baal with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." She's basically saying, "I'm going to kill you and I'm going to make that happen very soon." So Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing there, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel Meholah to succeed you as prophet. We'll stop there. So what's going on? Elijah is afraid. He's been given a death threat and he wasn't able to brush it off. Maybe even in the previous chapter where he'd been so bold against opposition, this time he wasn't able to kind of be resilient. And why was he affected? Well, I think he must have just been really, really tired. And he'd given out loads and he was suddenly tired. And when he was tired, he became scared and tired physically, and he decided to run away. And that was a good idea. And we see it in verse 4 where he gets to the tree, he's had enough, he's ready to die. So here's the first thing around holiday, is that holidays, when we take time away from everything, holidays can help us renew our thinking. If you're tired, one of the first things that is affected is your thinking. You don't think right about yourself, your situation, or others. And this can be very subtle to start with, hard to see, maybe just attitudes. Maybe people tell you you've been a bit short with them or abrupt. But maybe making decisions becomes a bit clouded by tiredness. If you don't take a holiday, your thinking can become warped. Your mind is fatigued and tired. And your thinking will affect everything else. Elijah's thinking had become really affected. You can see this where he ends up in a really dark place. A great man of faith, but in a real crisis of mental health, feeling that actually he doesn't want to carry on at all with his life. And what happens, the first thing that happens in Elijah's story here is that he sleeps. He is physically tired and he sleeps. And then amazingly, an angel, a messenger of God, supernaturally provides food and water and twice feeds Elijah. It's such a simple idea, just eating and drinking. That's one of the things we look forward to about going on holiday, is having nice food and drinks. And we see it throughout the Bible of God providing and feeding people. And their physical needs are important, whether that's in the desert, the Israelites being given manna from heaven, whether it's then Jesus feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000, miraculously providing food, saying, actually, you're hungry, you need something to eat. Just physical tiredness has a big effect on our thinking. And Elijah here is being fed by God. Now, it's interesting that that's the first thing, our physical needs. And often when we go on holiday, we just look forward to resting and having some physical relaxing time. But there's something else that happens here. On holiday, we not only get renewed in our thinking, but it then helps us to see our perspective correctly. Holiday and rest can help us see a proper perspective. So again, as we look at Elijah, he was seeing it all wrong. He makes his way to Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb's a really important mountain, a famous one. This is where Moses, who led the people out of Egypt, was there, where he went up the mountain, Mount Horeb, to get the Ten Commandments. This was known of and seen as the mountain of God. But it seems odd that he's there. And in fact, there's two questions that God asks. He repeats the same question. We see it here in verse 9. Elijah gets to the mountain, goes into a cave, and then God speaks to him. And he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? I love the way God asks that, because obviously kind of God knows everything, but he's just asking this question, Elijah, what are you doing here? It probably wasn't in the plan. It wasn't something that God had asked him to do, but Elijah thought he should go there. Actually, Elijah was scared and maybe still didn't know where to go or what else to do, so went to Mount Horeb. We can often ask ourselves, oh, if God was here right now, I wonder what question would we ask him? But maybe the thing to ask ourselves is, what question do you think God would ask you right now? Just like he asks Elijah a question, what are you doing here? What do you think God might ask you? So it's all gone wrong. This is the answer that Elijah gives. Essentially, God, your huge plan of saving the world, of raising up Israel to be a light to all the nations, to redeem the whole world back to yourself. God, I'm afraid to say it's over. It's finished. It's gone completely wrong. Everyone's dead. All the Israelites have rebelled from you. In fact, there's only one person who's still true to you, God, and that's me, and I want to die. So I'm really sorry to say it, God, but it's over. We're done. It's finished. That's what Elijah was saying. So again, we can see that his perspective has gone a bit wrong. He's not seeing things right. So God graciously says, right, I'm going to show you myself. And it's not in the wind. It's not in the fire. It's not in the earthquake. It's in a whisper. And he whispers. Why does he do that to then ask him the same question again, as we see in verse 13? What are you doing here, Elijah? Well, God has shown himself to Elijah, not just because he thought that would be nice, because he's trying to describe something to Elijah, saying, Elijah, I'm not going to work in just big ways like fire from heaven or massive winds or earthquakes. Actually, I work in whispers. And are you able to hear me whispering to you? Actually, if we're so busy, we're so tired, then often we may well miss the whispers of God. And God is whispering to Elijah, saying, do you understand? I'm working, but I'm working in whispers. I'm working in ways that aren't just big and dramatic. So he gives Elijah a second chance to answer this question. Elijah, what are you doing here? But Elijah says the very same answer that he gave the first time. Elijah still doesn't quite get it. Well, you see, God, I've been zealous for you, but it's all gone wrong. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken your altars. The prophets are dead and I'm the only one left and they're trying to kill me. I'm sorry, God, it's over. So Elijah still isn't seeing the right thing. He's lost perspective on who God is and what God is doing. He's lost perspective on God's purposes and can only see it from his perspective, and it's not looking good. So God is wanting to renew us, not just in our thinking. How do we rest so we can think well? But how do we be renewed in our perspective on our lives, on who we are, on what God's doing and our role with it? So this is what happens. God then answers him in verse 15 and says, go back the way you came and go and anoint three people, Hazael and Jehu and Elisha. God's saying to him, actually, I haven't finished. Things are not as bad as you seem. In fact, there are other people who are faithful to me in Israel. But actually, he is reconfirming his commission to Elijah. He's saying, actually, there is still things that I want to do. And I want you to be part of it. It's not all over and it's not all finished. So Elijah finds that his commission, what he's being asked of by God, is reconfirmed in this time. And so what happened? Elijah was fed by God and nourished and found rest. He then met with God, and then Elijah was recommissioned by God to go and anoint some people who are going to carry on God's purposes. So here's what I want to say about holiday. When we go on holiday, it's easy to just switch off or go in holiday mode. But what we really want to ask is, God, how do I find rest so I can draw near to you? Lord, how do I find in holiday a place where I can then meet with you and encounter you? And then in doing so, how do you help me see a right perspective on things where maybe I've lost perspective? But also, God, what are you asking me to do? What's that commission? Are there things that actually, yet you still want me to carry on in the things that I'm holding? Or are there things that you're now calling me to that are different? Now, I'm not saying every holiday suddenly has to become this great spiritual, profound place of meeting with God on a mountain. But what I am saying is that it's easy to holiday and just look after our physical well-being and have a nice time. But the Bible really says, I think, that holidays, that life is supposed to be full of God's life. Holiday, a holy day, needs to be meant that there's holiness, there's a presence of God, there's something that actually through it we draw near to God. So we're now just going to hear from my friend Mark Reed, who's one of our young adult leaders, and he's going to share some things around how, whilst we're on holiday, can we draw near to God and be renewed in our relationship with him whilst on holiday. Over to you, Mark.
Well, hey, Woodies, Mark here. Just wanted to add some practical reflections based on what Nigel has already been sharing with us this morning. As we go into August, as we go into summer holidays, the holiday period, just want to offer some practical thoughts. And for me, the invitation of God is always to draw closer to him. And actually, as we come into August, as we come into any holiday period, I find that sometimes we can actually distance ourselves from God or take a holiday from spirituality, so to speak. So as we make our way into this little stretch of time, I want to offer some reminders to us and invite you into some practices to just keep God at the forefront, keep God present and in front of you all the time. And there are three simple ones. The first is to slow down to the pace of love and come back to the pace of love. The second one is to be present to God's goodness in the physicality, in the creation that's around you. And the final one is to recalibrate, to remember your identity and your purpose. So a little word on each. Slow down and come back to the pace of love. Over the last year, I've been taking the time to read this book, which is called 3 Mile an Hour God by a Japanese theologian called Kosuke Koyama. And in this book, he talks about the God who walks at a slow pace, 3 miles an hour, so to speak. The one who doesn't rush around, who isn't hurried, who isn't anxious. And the pace of God is slow because God is love. And the pace of love is gentle. It's kind, it's thoughtful, it's considerate, it listens, it breathes easy, it's patient, and all those 1 Corinthians 13 analogies and phrases. But also love heals. And we see the stories of Jesus that he was never running around, he was never chasing after stuff. He always seemed to come across as being gentle, kind, compassionate, that slow pace. And sometimes I only realize that I've been disaligned or out of alignment with God when I come back to that slow pace of love. I remember, oh, I've really been striving, or I've been really running at my own pace here. So my invitation to you in this holiday period is firstly to slow down and come back to God, the one who knows you, the one who loves you, the one who wants to be close to you. Go for a walk, spend some time in the silence if you can. Go into the hills if you're there, to the beaches or whatever it might be, but slow down and come back to the pace of God. Second is to be present to the goodness of God in creation, in the pleasures of the things that are in front of you. So when you're on holiday, it's good to just eat good food, have a good bottle of wine, some nice cheese, a steak or some other kind of delicious thing to eat. I personally love a banoffee pie. But don't be afraid to just enjoy that and be present to the goodness of God as you're eating food, as you're having some good drinks, as you're spending time with family or with friends or whatever it might be. Be thankful. Choose to be thankful as you spend time with those groups of people or whatever it might be. Again, or whether you're going walking or with the dog or whatever it might be. Just enjoy the goodness of God around you in creation, in food, in relationships, or whatever it might be. There's something about when we give thanks, that position of thankfulness, that God just opens up more. He just pours more of himself into you while we're being thankful. So go and choose to be present to God and to be thankful for all the good things. And finally, is to recalibrate, to remember our identity and purpose. As we choose to stop, taking that kind of Sabbath kind of season, that time of stopping, it's important to take stock and to remember whose we are as we search for our purpose and as we search for God in this world? What is God saying to you in the quiet and in the place of rest? For me, I always want to be returning to this thing that's the first and foremost in my life, that before anything else, before anything I do, or before any job or vocation or anything like that, my primary objective in life is to be loved by God and to love Him in return. So in the place of holiday and rest, I take time to ask God to search me. Where are there places in my life that I've experienced disappointment, where I've experienced loss, where I've experienced grief, anxiety, pain? Have I processed that well with God? Am I living from the place of being in Christ, as Paul says in his letters, known and loved by Him? Or where is there sin or a recurring issue in my life that needs to be addressed with God? Sometimes stopping and finding space on a holiday or a time of rest is a perfect place to ask those deeper questions of God, away from the pressures of work, the pressures of life, and things like that. There's space for us to dig into those deeper questions with God. So I'll just finish with this, with that famous passage from Matthew 11, where Jesus says in verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, my way of life upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen.
Thanks, Mark, so much for sharing those things with us. And as I wrap up now, I just want to say this. I want to encourage you, whether you've been on holiday, you're on holiday or looking to, that God cares about you. God cares about you finding rest from all the work and the things that you do. But also, it's really important that when we go on holiday, we go with a sense of how do we look to meet with God and be renewed by Him. That actually, we want to do life with Him, not just switch off from everything when we go on holiday. It might be for you, you've got small kids or situations where you find it really hard to actually connect with God in the midst of a busy holiday. But it might be that you need to find some other time, a retreat day, some morning, some space where for you, you can connect and encounter with God to be renewed. It's because God doesn't want us to be frazzled, burnt out people, overloaded, trying to do good things for God. But He's really committed that we are growing in our love for Him, that we're growing in our wholeness, our holiness, how we know more of God. God doesn't want to just patch us up to keep us going, but He's wanting to recreate in us, to form more of the image of Jesus in our lives. And so we need to give space and attention and a willingness for that to happen. So wherever it is, whether you've been on holiday and now you've heard this incredible talk, you're like, ah, I got that one completely wrong. It's fine. There'll always be another holiday. Or maybe it's a place where for you, you're wanting to just, yeah, push into the presence of God to get hold of it more. Maybe this has been a difficult time for you. And actually, you're really aware of needing the comfort and renewing of God at this time in your life. But whatever it is, and wherever you are, I want to pray that actually you would be able to encounter and know God's presence and His love for you. So I'm just going to say a prayer and I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, we thank you that you love us and care for us. Jesus, thank you that you invite us to find rest in you. And I pray for all of us in this holiday season that we'd be able to do life with you and draw near to you. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd help us to do that and that we would, yeah, just be aware of your great love for us. And I ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you wherever you're at. Maybe you're somebody who is facing huge things that actually a holiday is the last thing on your mind, but you know that you need to rest, and you know that in order to function the best that you can, you need to have that kind of inner peace. And so I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will come and help for all of us, and that we would find that recreating power that God has promised to His people, His children, that the very spark that came, that brought human beings to life in the first place, would keep coming to us. Maybe that's something you really recognize. You've lost your spark today. And, you know, I sense there are people listening today who are weary, maybe even bone weary, and you just feel that you've lost your ability to get up in the morning with energy and enthusiasm. And God wants to bring you to that place of renewal and restoration today. So if you're comfortable, I'd suggest that you close your eyes and put your hands out as we pray. And I'm just going to ask, wait for a minute, ask for the Holy Spirit to come to you wherever you are in your room today, and pray for the power of God to come and help us with these things that can overpower us sometimes. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that your word comes with power. Your word and your promises and your call upon our lives comes with the power to do it, because you have not left us alone. Jesus, we hear your words that say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. We hear that as a promise, because you say you'll give us rest. And so I pray now that you would come, Holy Spirit. Come, the Spirit of Jesus, the one who promised the rest to our souls. Come now, we pray. I pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit in every room today, that every person that is listening, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. Come. I'm just going to wait for a few seconds in silence. Come, Spirit of Jesus, the one who restores our souls. For those that are weary today, Jesus says to you, come to me. I'll give you rest. Lay down your burdens. Surrender them to me, and I'll give you rest. Yeah, for those that whose minds are racing and you can't switch off, day and night, you can't switch off because there are things that are too big for you to contemplate, too tricky, too complex. And yet you know that you need to be able to think well. And there, Jesus gives us the ability to be at peace in the middle of a storm, because he is the Prince of Peace. And there is no storm that is too big for him. So I speak peace into the storms this morning, the storms of life, whatever they are, whether they're to do with your children, your finances, your work life, the complexity of family relationships. Whatever those storms are, I speak peace in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And for those who have lost their spark, I declare again that you will be brought to life by the renewing power of God, that there is a spark of life for you, the same life that brought human beings to life in the first place, at the dawn of creation, is here today. And again, I just declare life over everybody who's listening. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Just hear his voice now. You know, in the stillness, open your heart to him, open your mind to him, ask him what he wants to say to you. He's always speaking. He's always calling us closer in. I pray for healing too, God. But where there is physical healing that is needed, I pray release your healing power right now. I speak to broken bodies and broken minds as well. In the name of Jesus, be healed, be restored. Jesus calls you to your true self, the true person that you were always meant to be. Thank you, God. Amen. If you would like some more prayer as the service ends, a link will come up for our prayer rooms that via Zoom we can do some one-to-one prayer and talk with you. So do follow those links if you'd like to do that. And again, newcomers, people who've tuned in for the first time, really hope you enjoyed the service. And don't go without filling out one of our contact cards so that we can talk to you and let you know about the church. We'd love you to do that. So the link for that will come up in just a moment as well. And that is the end of our service today. We've come to the end and hope you've enjoyed it. And I hope you are able to have a holiday of some kind, wherever it is, even if it's in your own home, and you're able to just find that recreation that we all really need, don't we? Just a reminder again, there's a 7 p.m. service tonight to go to, and hope you have a really good week this week. Goodbye from me. I just say a blessing over you. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next week.